Welcome to Mattis Avenue Free Methodist Church, where we worship God, make disciples of Jesus Christ, and serve our community and world. The following is a recorded message based on God's holy word. We would love to see you for our worship services on Sunday mornings. For more information, visit www.mattisav.org or call 217-355-5947. And may God bless you.
For those who were gathered at the event that we had with Kevin Austin speaking, that the timing of his visit this morning in the midst of our exploration of the book of Acts is a perfect moment for us to pause and be reminded of the ways that the Holy Spirit began moving when the church was birthed and continues to move still today as salvation comes through his people and to his people. And salvation is not this spiritual, otherworldly thing. It is a transformation and a healing of hearts and lives and communities here today, making a tangible difference. I'm excited to bring our speaker this morning forward. This is Dr. Reverend Kevin Austin. He's the founder and director of the Global Set Free Movement. And I love what he shared yesterday, that he's a missionary, not to a place, but he's a Free Methodist missionary to a problem. And the problem is human trafficking. And he'll share more with you. We're glad to have him with us. I'm going to give up now. So let's welcome, would you, Kevin Austin. Thank you.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. Is this on? Is this working? Yep, great. So some introductory comments before I get going. I need about 6 hours. So we should be done in time for you to do the Super Bowl thing if you want to. No, I'm joking and I'm not. You'll see very quickly that you'll start having some questions about what I'm saying, and we just don't have the time and the space to answer them. But we have all sorts of resources on the back table. I've got a table out there that has information about Set Free and how to take action. I've got information about Wonders here and how to take action. So I brought these for you, so please stop at the table and take them so that you can have some follow-up. The other thing I want to say is that last night while we were sleeping and we weren't even thinking about it, the sun rose on the other side of the globe and people started to go to church. And a wave of worship started last night when we were sleeping. And as the sun moved, it moved across China and across Korea and Japan, moved across Southeast Asia and then into Europe, and then down along Africa, and then it just continued to move. This wave of worship has been building for hours, and we're caught up in this wave of global worship of God. Every tribe, every language, every people. And we're almost at the end of the wave. Now, when we're done here, my wife will go to church at the very end of the wave, because we live in Washington State. So as the sun moves, and then that's where the wave crashes in Washington State. But we're having this conversation. I just want to say this because we're having this conversation about a very challenging issue within the context of worship. Because this is about God. It's about the mission of God. It's about Jesus. It's about the Holy Spirit empowering us and moving us. And so I don't want you to get bogged down and distracted by the details of what I'm going to talk about. Yeah, it's hard stuff, but I want you to be inspired more than anything else. I want you to be inspired. I want you to hear the scripture, and I want you to be inspired by the scripture. But I want us to remember that we're in this context where we're talking about this big thing, and we're not alone. We're not alone. We're part of a mighty, mighty army that began thousands of years ago and is going to move forward into the future. So there's hope and there's power in this context. So what we're going to do this morning is I want us to look at a passage of scripture out of 2 Kings chapter 4. So you can go ahead and turn to that, 2 Kings chapter 4. And then, so we're going to read it, and then I'm going to go back through it, and I'm going to talk about different parts of it. and talk a little bit about human trafficking, and I'm going to talk a little bit about what the Set Free Movement is doing as an illustration of that passage of Scripture. But I hope that you're going to be encouraged this morning. Now, it is Freedom Sunday this morning, so let me just tell you this. I created this idea of Freedom Sunday about 15 years ago to serve as a vehicle for churches to pick a Sunday during the year for them to focus on the issue of human trafficking, and we provide resources and all sorts of other stuff, and I'm glad you're doing it. We've been doing it for 15 years now. We've raised more than $1 million. We've launched about 30 different freedom projects because of this focus. And so thanks for doing it. You're not alone. There's a whole bunch of other churches that are doing it today and that have done it over the last couple of weeks. Well, let's look at this passage of Scripture. So it's in 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord, but now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves." Elisha replied to her, "How can I help you? Please tell me, what do you have in your house?" And she answered, "Your servant has nothing there at all, except a small jar of olive oil." Elisha said, "Go around, ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side." She left him, shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." But he replied, "There's not a jar left." Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left." Now, go back to the top. So this woman's desperate. Her husband has died, and they have fallen into economic peril, and the creditors are coming to take her sons as slaves. Now, this is an old story, and it's still repeating over and over and over today. People fall into economic peril. They fall into some kind of an issue. They're crippled by poverty. There's racism. There's all sorts of things that create vulnerability, and then people become enslaved because of that. And in our world today, there are at least 50 million people that are enslaved in human trafficking. They cannot walk away. They're doing things they don't want to do, and they're under the threat of violence. These are not people making $1 a day going home. These are people who make no money. They cannot go home, and they're under the threat of violence. And it's not just sex trafficking, it's also labor trafficking. Labor trafficking is statistically a larger group of people, while sex trafficking generates more money. And it is a huge global money-making business. Yes, it's about the breakdown of the moral fabric of society. Yes, it's about the breakdown of families. Yes, it's about laws and law enforcement and systems of oppression. But it's a business. It is a huge money-making business. And we are contributing to the misery by the products that we buy. The cotton we wear, the strawberries we eat, the tomatoes we eat, the technology we use, the cars we drive. This is why we need hours and hours and hours and hours to talk about this and to examine why are we consuming so much? Where are we getting our products from? So it's a complex issue. And it's not just in places over there on another, you know, another part of the world. It's also right here in the United States. So there are considered to be somewhere between 100 to 300,000 domestic minor sex trafficking victims in the United States. These are minors. They're under the age of 18. They're involved in commercial sexual exploitation. Now, if we add to that number those who are over the age of 18, if we add to that number those who are involved in labor trafficking, I'm going to guess that we have at least 1 million enslaved people in the United States. At least. It could be more than that. And that other number up there is 70%. Among those involved in commercial sexual exploitation in the United States, that's stripping, pornography, prostitution, among those involved in that, 70% at one time were foster kids. So our foster kids are incredibly vulnerable. And when you talk about low-hanging fruit, like what should we do? well, your church already is working to love on children, love on youth, and create strong families. We need strong families. We need to prevent families from disintegrating so that kids aren't running away from home, so the kids aren't ending up in the foster care system. This is an epidemic. Now, that those other numbers, 48 hours, when a young person from Champaign runs away to Indianapolis or Chicago or St. Louis, they're approached by a human trafficker within 48 hours. But if you live in Seattle, where I do, it's 45 minutes. Why? Because it's a lucrative money-making business, and somebody can make a lot of money off of that young person. So it's not just a problem over there in Brazil or over there in Bulgaria or over there in Thailand. It's right here in our communities. And human trafficking is in everything. It's in domestic labor, commercial sex, restaurants and hospitality, factories and manufacturing, construction and landscaping, agriculture and forestry. It's in our cupboards, our closets, our kitchens. It's across the street. It's around the corner. It's on the other side of the world. And we need to think about that. We need to ask ourselves, what are we doing? Where are we shopping? What are we buying? Again, that's a long conversation. There are tools. You can go to our website. You can just Google. You can find out information online, and we can help you to figure that out. But this is a big problem in our world today. But we can talk about numbers, we can talk about statistics, we can talk about systems, we can talk about philosophies, but at the end of the day, it comes down to a fundamental question, and the question is, how much is he worth? How much is he worth? What price tag do you put on him? That is the real question. That is the real question. Or how about her? What price tag do we put on her? How much is she worth? Or this girl, what is her value? And I'll tell you what, she's worth more money than has ever been printed in the history of the world. You cannot put a price tag on a human being. You cannot. She has dignity and value. She's created in the image of God with a future. And it is evil. It's not just bad. It's not just wrong. She's not a statistic. She's a human being, and it is evil to buy and sell another human being for profit and or pleasure. It is wrong. Now, Elisha started to ask some really good questions. So go back to the text again. Go back to the text. I love this. Verse 2. Elisha replied to her, "How can I help you?" He asked her two questions. How can I help you? First, he shows, I care about you. I want to know, how can I help you? You're in trouble. You're telling me that the creditors are coming to take your kids. I hear you. How can I help you? But then he asked another question. Tell me, what do you have in your house? He invites her into her own solution. He doesn't take out his wallet and give her a bunch of money and say, God bless you. This is going to help you for a little while. He doesn't do that. He asks her, what do you already have that you can use with God's help and blessing to create some change so that this situation will not result in your kids becoming slaves? That's a really, really good question. She answers back, I don't have anything. Oh, wait a minute. Actually, I have a small, worthless amount of oil. This story is the story of the power of nothingness. So some of you in this room, when I'm talking about these things, you might say, well, I don't have much to give. I don't have much money. I don't have much talent. I don't have much gifts and skills. I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm not strong enough, and I want to say to you, there are no excuses with God. God can use the most weak person. He can use the power of a small amount of oil to make a difference. And so I can step out of the sermon and say, what do you have in your life that that you think is meaningless or worthless, that you think is insignificant? I want to tell you, if you hear nothing else this morning, I want to tell you, God can use that. God can use that. Maybe he doesn't want to use your education. Maybe he doesn't want to use your money. Maybe he wants to use something that you haven't even thought about. Think about that. God wants to use you with your strengths and your weaknesses to create a difference in our world today. So with the Set Free Movement, we ask a lot of good questions too. We want to ask questions. We want to go deep. Elisha's going deep with her. He doesn't just want to just fix her problem. He wants her to be part of the solution. And so we ask questions too. Is human trafficking a problem or is it a symptom? And what creates vulnerability to begin with? Because we can't just address human trafficking. If we only address human trafficking, then it's not going to really solve anything, because human trafficking comes from somewhere. It comes from some place. And it comes from vulnerability. It comes from poverty and some cultural and religious values, systems of oppression, family dysfunction, racial inequalities, discrimination, racism. This is a picture of some girls in Bulgaria. They're Roma. They're gypsy girls. And they, because of their nationality, because of the color of their skin, they're forced to live in these sprawling slums where they don't have healthcare opportunities, job opportunities, educational opportunities. That makes them vulnerable, incredibly vulnerable to human trafficking. Now, the good news is that God has entered in. And my friends Chance and Dee Dee Galloway went to Bulgaria 10 years ago, and God created racial reconciliation. They planned to help plant 35 churches in 3 countries, and we helped to create a home for those girls to protect them from human trafficking. Discipleship's happening. Leadership development's happening. Churches are being planted. An agricultural project. Can you believe that they grow 3-pound tomatoes? They do. A tomato that weighs 3 pounds is like a small pumpkin. The first year of that agricultural project, they had peppers and corn and lettuce and tomatoes, and they gave it all away to the poor as an offering to the Lord. They're making a difference. They're coming in. They're intervening. God is intervening among the poor. Or maybe there's addiction that's making people vulnerable, or the political instability, oppression, environmental disasters, the history of trauma and abuse. It's really about the breakdown of community. So this is one of the things that's really important for me to just relate to you. I believe that human trafficking is a symptom, and I would argue that poverty also is a symptom. And most of our social injustices are symptoms of the fundamental problem that there's a breakdown in community. And that breakdown in community comes about because we are broken. It's this thing called sin. I'm broken between God and me, and then I'm broken between me and other people, men and women, rich and poor, Republican, Democrat, educated, uneducated, different religious systems. There's this incredible breakdown of community. This is the fundamental problem. This is the real problem. It's about broken relationships that then become broken communities that then are supported by broken systems, and then the whole culture is broken. Now, sin is a disease, and the disease infects everything. But God is the healer. And the primary means by which God brings hope and healing to our broken world is through the church. You are agents of hope and healing. You are a people of light in the darkness. You are a people who have been set free, and now you set others free. You are a people on mission with Jesus to bring transformation to the world. That's what you are. And this, my friends, is a gas station. You simply come in here and get filled up, and then you go back out to where the real work is happening. I don't mean to minimize this at all. This is vitally important. This is vitally important. But you are not made to simply be here. This is the gas station. Now go back to the text. Go back to the text. So she says, I don't have anything. Actually, I've got a small amount of olive oil. And then in verse 3, Elisha says, go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Be bold. Ask for as many jars as you can get. Now here again is the example of the power of nothingness. She has a small amount of oil, which is worth nothing. And now she's going around and she's inviting her neighbors to come in and help her. So not only is she being invited into her own deliverance, but now she's inviting the whole neighborhood to come and be part of the solution. Community. It's about the community. It's about neighbors helping neighbors. It's about relational connection where people care for one another and they work together for the common good. And I love Elisha. There's so many great things about this passage. He says, be bold. Don't ask for just a few. Ask for every empty jar you can get your hands on. Now, maybe this morning, I'm going to step out of the sermon again. Maybe this morning, you've got lots of oil, but you've got some empty jars. Maybe you've got something you can give to somebody else that can help them to find deliverance. You've got something that you think is worthless. Again, you got lots of oil, but you got empty jars. How are you going to use what God has given to you that maybe you've used up, maybe you're done with that thing, but God wants you to use that for his glory somehow? So she does this. She goes in, she shuts the door, she gets all these jars, she pours the oil into the jars, and then you know what it says. She just, as soon as the empty jars were full, then God had performed his miracle. I'm going to come back to this again in just a couple minutes. But we must both serve with compassion at the margins and also bring hope and healing to broken communities. So our call is to do both things simultaneously. We must address the symptoms, homelessness, human trafficking, poverty. We need to address the symptoms, but we can't just fix problems. We need to also bring hope and healing into broken communities. And this is the call of the church. This is what the church is called to do and to be, is the agents of hope and healing. So the Set Free Movement, our vision, I'm going to give you some illustrations of this. Our vision is to see the vulnerable protected, captive set free, and the oppressed experiencing hope and healing as neighborhoods are transformed. We are not content only to address human trafficking. We want to see neighborhoods transformed. And we want to see people experiencing hope and healing. We want to see change happen in a really transformational, holistic way. And this is Camille with her colleague Jessica. And Camille leads our Fostering Hope program in Seattle, where they are feeding foster families on a monthly basis and giving them a space for them to have the education that they need. And they're also loving on the social workers, giving them gift cards and fair trade chocolates at Valentine's Day. And then they've got this upper room where they've invited people that are moving out of their homes to give all their stuff. And so when a young person ages out of foster care and they get their first apartment, they can come see Aunt Camille and they can get the chair and the funky picture and the cleaning supplies and some food and dishes. And last year they averaged one youth a day coming to get stuff from Aunt Camille for their new apartment. And they're given a box of cleaning supplies, and in the box of cleaning supplies is a note that says, "We are your church family. We love you. Welcome to your home. We're here when you need us." She's having transformational impact in Seattle. And she's having incredible opportunities to witness. Our mission is to mobilize faith communities, financial partners, faith communities, that's you, financial partners, that's you, all segments of society, that's you. Some of you are teachers. You need to teach in the direction of freedom. Some of you are business leaders. You can do business in the direction of freedom. Some of you are artists. You can paint paintings in the direction of freedom. So whatever you do, you can do it in the direction of freedom. So we want to mobilize people towards ending human trafficking and creating new futures through community-based action. And this is Yvonne and Lillian in Nairobi, Kenya. And Yvonne and Lillian are leading the charge in doing an education program where they're going into schools and they're educating girls and boys about gender-based violence, human trafficking, and how each of them are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. And nobody has a right to your body but you. And then they let the boys go. And then, oh, I don't have a picture of it. They let the boys go. And then they talk to the girls about menstrual health. And we have this kit that we designed, helped to design, that's now patent pending. And this kit that we give to the girls, and it's got underwear and soap and washable pads, and it helps to keep a girl in school for up to 3 years, and it costs $35. For $35, I can keep a girl in school for 3 years. Who's with me? Like, we got to keep girls in school. If we can keep girls in school, it makes them less vulnerable to human trafficking. And not only are we distributing this much-needed health kit, but we're giving them the education, and we're encouraging them. And there's this whole mentorship. So this is actually a picture of these girls that Yvonne and Lillian are mentoring in a slum in Nairobi. And Yvonne travels by bus 2.5 hours to get to the slum. And she's loving these girls. She's helping them to find their way. She's helping them to be encouraged. And there's about 40 girls they're helping in Nairobi, and then there's about 40 girls they're helping in Mombasa. It's really cool. It's really cool. Now, you're already making a difference. It's one of the things I want to tell you. On the far right is Zsuzsa McNamara. Last December, you raised money for the church in Győr, Hungary. And the church in Győr, Hungary is the support system for what Zsuzsa is doing in Hungary. And Zsuzsa is going into children's homes and helping the children in a variety of ways, doing camps, arts and crafts, education, helping them in any way that they can, because those kids are broken and they need to be encouraged and they need to be helped in tangible ways so that when they have to leave the home, they don't fall into prostitution or gangs or prison. And here they are with some blankets that were made. And Zsuzsa is an outstanding leader. And I want to thank you for supporting that work in Hungary. It's really exciting work. This is our team in Jackson, Michigan. I'm serious, man. I can go till like 5 o'clock. This is our team in Jackson, Michigan, and they launched a home called My Place that helps get homeless youth off the streets. Now, I want you to just notice how much these people are smiling. Look at the joy. Look at the joy. It is a joy to be on mission with God. It is a joy. And they have times of weeping and lamenting and groaning before God. But there is palpable joy. This is part of the reason why I love my job. I love my job because I get to be with these heroes of the faith who are no different than you. They sat where you're sitting, not literally, but they sat where you're sitting, and they asked, what can I do? And they prayed, and they learned, and they dialogued, and they networked, and they experimented, and Jesus said, come with me, I'm going to show you what to do. And they followed. They followed. So they started this home called My Place, and My Place is helping 6 young women right now. And then they also started a business called My Bakery, which is creating really great food and giving the girls an opportunity to learn job skills and create some money for the ministry. And now they're in the process right now of remodeling another home. They're hoping to open a boys' home in the fall. There's My Bakery. Nayan, our leader in India, is helping to repatriate children who have been gone missing or have been trafficked, repatriate them back to Mumbai. If they're from Mumbai, he goes and he gets them, he brings them back, puts them into a safe house. This is one of the girls that had gone missing or she had been trafficked. He and his team went and brought her back to Mumbai, reunited her with her family in this case. And last year, he helped 250 children find a home. Our team in Youngstown, Ohio, they go into a strip club ministry. They go into strip clubs and they love on the women. They give food. They give Bibles. They pray with the women. Incredible things are happening. I really like this picture because they're literally glowing. They're glowing with the light of Jesus. Here's the picture I wanted to show you. It was in the wrong order. That's Yvonne. And Yvonne is showing all these girls how this menstrual kit works. It was great to be, I took this picture, it was great to be there and to see this happening in real time and to know that these girls now are going to be able to stay in school for up to 3 years. Now, back to the story again, and I don't need to pull out my phone to read it to you, but this woman went back to Elisha and she said, I've filled all the empty jars are full now of oil. God did this miracle. And Elisha says, go sell all of your oil and live on what you get, and your kids will now be safe from being enslaved. So she does that. And business can be a powerful tool for freedom. So we created this business program. I just want to just share with you a little bit about what some businesses are doing. So we created this business program. And this is Trevor and his mom and his friend in Sodus, New York. And they created a freedom blend. And this freedom blend gives us 20, so we get 25% of the profits. So if you like coffee, you can drink coffee in the direction of freedom. So you can either buy coffee from Imprint Coffee, or you can buy it from Camano Island Coffee. We've got two different partners. But these partners in particular created this freedom blend, and then we get 25% from it, from the sales. But when they sell coffee at their shop, they're also giving out information about human trafficking. So if you come in, you know, there's cards on the table, there's posters on the wall, and I'm going to be with him in just about another month, and we're going to talk about how we literally make the coffee cup a freedom message with a QR code. So you can just take that coffee cup, and it says you're drinking coffee in the direction of freedom. Find out how. Scan the QR code, and then it goes to a web page. And then the other thing we're talking about is employing survivors of human trafficking. So there are men and women who've been rescued that are in programs, but once they get out of the program, then what? They need a place to live. They need jobs. Who's going to employ them? So the next conversation with him is, how do we employ survivors of human trafficking to learn how to roast, learn how to be baristas, et cetera, et cetera. And then we've got Tim in Jackson, Michigan. And Tim is a real estate agent. And if you buy a house from Tim, he'll give you a packet that shows you where the post office is and where you can register to vote and where you can do some shopping. And oh, by the way, there's human trafficking. And here's some information about that. And then they give us a little bit of money. But they're having influence. They're having influence among all these new homeowners. And they're raising the level of awareness up. And then this is Allison. Allison's an artist. And she paints awesome paintings. And she created this calendar that then the proceeds of that went to the Set Free Movement. And so she's using her art in a way that can make a real difference. I've thrown a lot at you. But at the end of the day, again, I started off, I was talking about people. You know, this girl is in Nairobi, Kenya, and she's created in the image of God. And when I work with my team in this really hard balance. What's the balance between organization and movement? And what's the balance between like all the tasks we have to do? It's easy to have mission drift, to get bogged down with the details and bogged down with all the to-do lists. But at the end of the day, it's about her. It's about her. We want to see captives set free. We want to see her experiencing freedom beyond what set free can do. We want to see her getting, you know, growing up, graduating from high school, maybe going to college, having a career of some kind. That's what we're working towards. And so as I just wrap up here, I just want to encourage you to, personally, use that, look at that little bit of oil that you've got or that lot of oil that you've got. Look at those empty jars that you've got. How does God want to use you with your strengths, with your weaknesses, in your vulnerabilities? How does God want to use you? And then I want to encourage you to partner strong with your missionaries you're already supporting, with the Stott family, with McFarlane in India. I want to encourage you to, keep supporting the work, the incredible work that's going on in Hungary. But also, please, I want to invite you to come alongside Set Free also. Come alongside of us. Sign up for our newsletter. We've got a great prayer team that we have that are praying in the direction of freedom. And then this flyer in your bulletin has some information in it. I've got stuff on the back. And then just so you know, and then I'm going to pray, but if you want to give, we have a matching grant, so your money is doubled. And I know some of you probably can't give much, but some of you can give generously. And I want to encourage you, because you're given to her. You're not given to me. You're given to her, and you're given to the mission of God. But if you want to give, I just want to let you know, every dollar is matched, probably through to the end of this month. So whenever we get the check from you, it'll just be matched. So I want to pray. Lord, we're so thankful for today. We're thankful, God, that you have given us today clean drinking water to drink and food to eat, and we're in a safe and secure environment. We've got lights. The worship was awesome. The music was awesome this morning. Just thank you, God, for that. Thank you for each person that's in this room. Thank you, God, for how you have saved us, and even now you're healing us. And even now you're speaking to us, and we just pray, God, that you would speak clearly. And then help us, God, to move in your direction, whatever direction that is, across the street, around the corner, in our families, in our places of business, in our schools. What do you want us to do? How do you want us to follow you in small ways and in big ways? And help us, God, to know what is it in our lives that you want to show us that we think is meaningless is actually powerful and mighty, that you can use for your glory. And we pray, God, today. We pray, God, for the refugees and for the wars going on in the Middle East and in Ukraine. And we pray, God, for people who don't know you. We pray, God, for people who are enslaved. And we cry out to you, God, save your people. Save. Hosanna, come save quickly. Hosanna, come save quickly. Our foster kids, God, we just groan in just frustration and sadness about how some of our kids are just so wounded. And we pray, God, that you would move us from the place of lament to the place of hopeful energy as we move out on mission with you. God, we just pray that you would move us out on mission with you. We want to follow you wherever you will lead us. Into the darkness with the light, into the brokenness with the healing. God, lead us. Lead us, and we will follow you. We will follow you, and we will worship as we go, and we will be a people of joy and a people of hope. And Jesus, I just want to end by acknowledging that this is about you, Jesus. It's for you, it's from you, it's to you, it's because of your glory. And so we worship you, Jesus, as we move out from this place into our world. Jesus, we want to follow you. We're following you.